it was related to climate change, wasn't it, or was it?
I don't know. There have been two or three of them. There's another one in front of ARBCOM right now having to do with the 9/11 conspiracies, and they're hoping to revisit it. The part of the problem that I have seen, and in fact there's going to be something coming out in Wikipedia Weekly fairly soon, a debate between Martin Fei and science apologists who are kind of on opposite sides of this issue. What I've experienced is, in spite of the fact that ARBCOM has had several decisions on this, what we end up with is the proponents of the paranormal or pseudoscience or fringe areas will read those things, the hermeneutics of reading and interpreting what ARBCOM says is a lot of times will be kind of open to interpretation. So they'll read it and they'll say, ah, see, ARBCOM thinks that we don't need science in these fringe areas or what have you. That they'll read them in a very selective way, and then we end up spending many, many kilobytes of space arguing with them about what ARBCOM really meant in their decisions, and they deny that ARBCOM meant what we think they meant.
I have it here. It was in the pseudoscience proposed decision, November 2006.
Okay.
Appropriate sources. Wikipedia verifiability and reliable sources require that information included in an article have been published in a reliable source which is identified and potentially available to the reader. What constitutes a reliable source varies with the topic of the article, but in the case of a scientific theory, there is a clear expectation that the source for the theory itself are reputable textbooks or peer-reviewed journals. Scientific theories promulgated outside these media are not properly verifiable as scientific theories and should not be represented as such.
Well, I'll give you an example of where that runs into trouble, or one of the ways that runs into trouble. There are lots of ways that runs into trouble. But, for example, let's consider the electronic voice phenomena. That means the static on your radio is actually ghosts talking to you from beyond, from the grave. Okay? So that hasn't been investigated very much by scientists, obviously, because it's so, you know, some of these ideas are so crazy, it's not like somebody's going to get a grant and study it and publish something.
No. That's bias on the part of mainstream science.
Right, exactly. Now you're hitting on it, you see? So what they say is, well, therefore, we don't need to have mainstream science hasn't published on this, and therefore our vanity website or our vanity pamphlet that some guy published in his basement or something on a Xerox machine in the library or whatever, this is our reliable source, and I will promulgate this as actual fact, that the ghosts are talking to me out of the static in my radio. And, you know, it's not very encyclopedic, and, you know, we run into all kinds of problems.
So do you, to move this forward now then, the conversation, Phil, do you think, like, the more people who become more aware of you know, what are Wikipedia's policies on sourcing and all these things, and the more people with the most amount of, you know, experience and I guess what you might call clue coming to articles like this, the better. That would obviously move things towards stability. But in the short term, do you think we need new rules? Do you think we need, you know, stronger policies or any suggestions?
We might want to, I mean, again, this is something we've been discussing at Raymond Aritz's expert withdrawal pages, where we're trying to come up with other ideas on how to address this.
I should point out the background for the expert withdrawal page, which sort of goes to the heart of this, was that a lot of the people who do this kind of stuff are kind of reached or get fed up reaching the breaking point. And the idea of the expert withdrawal page was that, you know, we're just going to, you know, stop defending them against
away.
These kind of people and let them go to pot.
That was the original idea. I have tried to bend that a little bit towards saying, well, rather than just on purpose have a sort of a strike and let these articles get destroyed as a signal to the community that we're disgusted, why don't we, that's great to get the community's attention, but why don't we have some constructive ideas, like what Private Musings is suggesting. Let's try to see if we can think of some constructive ideas to try to make things better, like better training in the rules, better rules, modifications of the rules, maybe some kind of a content ARBCOM is one idea. People have come up with external review. You know, people have all kinds of ideas.
Actually, one of the things that I guess expert rebellion was related to expert withdrawal. One of the more positive things that's come out of that, I co-authored the disruptive editing guideline, which kind of sets out when an editor on any range of issues, not just things related to the specific topics that I'm speaking of, when it's an appropriate time for the communities to step forward with sanctions, without necessarily opening an arbitration case, which sometimes runs on a couple of months.
Yeah, disruptive editing or tendentious editing, that can help, but it still doesn't quite do the whole trick.
For the record, in this area, we've come miles and miles and miles from where we used to be. Did any of you happen to notice that Lear came back in the last couple weeks?
Came back and left again.
Who do you mean exactly?
Okay, Lear, L-I-R, user Lear, was a troublemaker for a long, long, long time. I mean, he is personally responsible in many ways for getting the arbitration committee going, for the check user going. I mean, you could, all of the things that we have against problem, you know, makers can sort of trace their origins to him. So he came back recently. His 1 year ban, which he extended to about 3 years because of 30 instances of sock puppeting, it expired, and he came back very recently, in the last month, 6 weeks, and he got himself, and I had sort of predicted this ahead of time, he would encounter what's called future shock. It goes back to a book in the 70s, you know, the idea of things changing so fast that you can't keep up. And that, you know, after coming back from being away from Wikipedia for 3 years, he would kind of be hit by a horrible case of future shock that how things had changed since he had left. And how we deal with problem users being the most, you know, the most obvious example of it is that the arbitration committee, you know, it used to be that you couldn't get rid of a single problem user without an ARCOM case. You know, there was no such thing as a community ban, no such thing as a user or an administrator acting his own volition to ban a user. He would have to go all the way through this Byzantine dispute resolution process, and that has since changed, and he really found out, you know, firsthand that you know, he was demanding that the arbitration committee rehear his case, even though there was absolutely no evidence that he would be beneficial at all. And as such, he ended up finding out firsthand what a community ban is. And so in the area of tendentious editing, we've really come a great, you know, we've come very far since where we used to be. That problematic edit handled in many ways by the community, and the more contentious issues now go to the ARBCOM, whereas it used to be the ARBCOM got all the problem editing and didn't really have time to sort out the larger issue, that they were stuck, you know, sorting out the trees and couldn't really hit the forest.
Well,
yeah.
That feeds into my point, which I've been trying to make at the expert withdrawal pages. If you go back a few years ago, we did things differently than we do now. But there's no, we probably still aren't doing things optimally, so there's nothing wrong with keeping our eyes open and trying to see can we continue to improve things, because there still are, in some of these areas, there still are problems, and so that is what I'm trying to do is get us to think of better ways to do things.
Very much. Actually, as far as, I guess we've got, would it be fair to characterize Raoul and Phil as both rather pro-science rather than the opposite? I like to think of myself as neutral. I do a lot of work in dispute resolution, and one solution that I often propose is that there are situations and subjects where the, I guess what you'd say, the midline of where the science is at a different point from where the midline of the popular perception is. And, you know, 1,000 scientists already all agreeing with each other doesn't necessarily change what the Gallup poll is going to say. And so my suggestion with that has just been to treat the popular perception and the scientific consensus as two different neutralities. sort of two separate things. The science, whatever it is, isn't going to be affected one bit by the Gallup poll of what the man on the street thinks. But, you know, the two don't necessarily line up. And with something like, for instance, homeopathy, where the science very clearly lines up on one side, but yet it does have a popular following.
It's got a fringe following. It doesn't have a popular following. That's the thing.
Well, okay.
You're not dealing with something that a lot of people believe in. You're dealing with something that few very dedicated adherents believe in.
The fraction of the world market for pharmaceuticals, the homeopathic fraction of the world market for pharmaceuticals is 0.3%.
Which is fair to present.
And they're much less than 0.1% of the number of physicians in the United States.
But I think the point stands, it's interesting, the point stands that you do, you know, that it is possible for there to be, exactly as DeRover says, you know, 1,000 scientists who all agree, and for public opinion to disagree with that. That situation exists conceptually. And I guess
that does exist in many areas, yes.
At least in the United States, global warming might be a fair example of that, where at least a substantial percentage of the popular opinion doubts it, whereas nearly all scientists agree there. I think when you're going for a general readership, articulating that difference exists and showing where it is and not trying to mix up the two, I think that somewhat helps.
And I think, guys, I tell you what, I think we could probably, we'll try and, I look forward to hearing that Wikipedia Weekly debate, because no doubt it's got much of interest, but this is an area that we could probably talk about for a lot longer.
It's a huge area,
and we could return to certain aspects of it, you know, next time, the time after, and particularly be interesting to hear other people's perspectives and on that. I think we're coming to the end of our time, so to speak. We're going to have to draw a line under it. But thanks to Raoul, DeRover, and Phil for coming. We had a topic that is the perennial bumper, which is the discussion of threats of violence on Wikipedia, which we may schedule for next time and then bump again or not. Otherwise, all are most welcome to these conversations, these Skype casts. So do consider getting yourself a headset or a microphone and plugging in and tuning in or dropping in, rather, coming by. Any final thoughts, Phil?
Well, I'm glad we got to it, and I'd like people to at least be aware of the fact that we are having some discussions and some difficulties in these fringe areas. And I'm not sure we're doing the best job we can, so it's good to be open-minded to the fact that maybe we can do better. And keep your eyes open for that Wikipedia Weekly debate, which hopefully will appear.
My final thought is that I'm going to go edit sunscreen straight after this.
My mistake. Signpost. Pardon me. You're right. It's in the signpost. Going to be in the signpost when it's edited down.
And DeRover, any final thoughts from you?
Oh, I'm just so pleased for the foundation. I'd love to leave on the thought of the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, one of the most prestigious funding organizations, thinking of us.
And that's, $1 million a year for the next 3 years. And Raoul, any final thoughts from your good self?
I hope they put that money to use to hire some developers and maybe fix some of the outstanding MediaWiki-related requests.
We may bump that up. Now that we know they've got money,
I would kill to have some of my feature requests filled, specifically as relate to check user.
Well, we can lobby hard for that from now on. Now that the story's out there, they've got the money. Okay, folks, thanks very much. I'm going to see you next time, possibly, and ta-da!